Well, greetings, friends. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's good to be with you once again. And this, of course, is a Sunday morning session, and we welcome you being with us. Now, we're doing this a little differently today, and we're actually doing this as an open forum, and we'll have about four of us involved in that open forum this morning, and we'll be up here on the platform doing that. If you remember, well, I know many of you remember because I get emails from you as well as calls concerning our open forums. And so that's what we're going to do with this today. And Raven and I have been talking about this for some time to come back on with our open forums. And of course, we try to make it known that the open part of these open forums is you. If you have questions, if you have comments to send in to us, then we handle them in this kind of a setting. So although this is Sunday morning, we have been talking about, and well, we have decided to do an open forum. We have done an open forum on Sunday before, and we heard from a lot of people on that who said that they'd like to see many more of the open forum type sessions. Now, we're doing this based upon questions and comments that have been sent in, and so I'm going to read an email that we got, and that we're going to deal with this morning. And it's better that I just read this to you rather than try to explain what it is. It's an email that comes in. We rarely, if ever, mention who sent the emails because they send these questions to us here, and sometimes we answer. Sometimes these questions are answered in various ways with the individuals that sent them, if it seems to be necessary. But like I say, for a number of years we did this on an open forum, Monday night open forum. Most of you remember that. Well, this is a Sunday morning open forum, and here is the question. And we use the questions that we do because actually it applies to not just one believer, that it applies to a lot of Christians and applies to a lot of believers. And so here is the question. I have these persistent questions. How can I know that I am born again? That Christ lives in me, I in him, and that I know him as the Father's finished work. The question is, how can I know? How can I know? The top of the email, the head of the email is knowing the opening of my eyes. Knowing, and then the opening of my eyes. How can I know that I'm born again? How can I know that Christ lives in me and I in him? And I'm putting the how can I know, because that highlights everything that is here. How can I know that I know Him as the Father's finished work? So that's what we're going to deal with, those questions that have been asked. And I discussed this with our brothers that we're going to be sitting over here together. And we talked about this before today so that we could give it some thought and deal with it as a discussion. And so just to kind of lay a background for this, or a foundation for it, we must come to understand that our great salvation is given of God in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, the one and only Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the resurrection and the life. He is the greatness of our salvation. Therefore, our salvation is not a religion. It isn't a religion. Our salvation is a life. And Christ Himself is that very life. But there's so many Christians throughout the church world who have become parts of a great external Christian order and system, as differing from the Holy Spirit's illumination of the things of the Lord within our hearts. Consequently, there is no way that we can know, as this person who sent this in has highlighted the word know. Well, there is no way that we can know and have understanding of our salvation, of our union with Christ, except the Holy Spirit open our eyes, the eyes of our heart and soul. So what I'm trying to just lay down here so that we can talk about it, what I'm trying to establish here is that we're not, Christianity, hon, is not a religion. Christianity is the person of Christ Himself. So when we talk about Christianity and we talk about the church world, our salvation is not being a part of a system. It's not being part of a denominational system, though we have no problem with denominations. Our salvation, hon, is life. It is life. We cannot know the salvation we have except by the very Spirit who lives in us. So we can't know what God has done and what He has given to us by natural mind or by natural understanding. Our whole dependence is upon the Spirit of God. So we're just going to take our positions over here And then we're going to share with you, as well as with one another, we're going to share with you what we have been asked, and that is, how can I know that I'm born again? How can I know that Christ is in me and I in Him? And how can I know Him? How can I know Him as the Father's finished work? Okay. To get started in this discussion up here, and I use this just to get us started, because these brethren are familiar with what I'm about to read, and I want you to be familiar with it too. And from my standpoint, we're going to be looking at the inward illumination of the Spirit of God that we may know. And I want to read concerning what Jesus said, and I'll go through this. I'm not going to teach a lesson here. But in John 14, 1 through 4, and pay attention to what we're saying now, while you're watching this, or whenever you're watching this, you might want to get your Bible out and go through these verses, because it has to do with what I just got through saying. And in John 14, 1 through 4, this is what the Lord Jesus told His disciples. Now, hon, His disciples were full of questions. They had no concept of new birth or Christ in you. They had no concept of that. Here's what the Lord told them just before the timing of the cross, before His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His coming to them again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. On our salvation is just that. Our salvation is just that kind of relationship. That place is not somewhere on earth. It is in Christ to be lived on earth. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way. Need to read verse 4. Whether I go, you know, I am, and the way you know. He was questioned on that. His answer was, I am the way. Not that I show you one. Not that there is one other than me. Not that the way is something that you can figure out as to how you're supposed to live. No, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, hon, this applies directly to our new birth and to Christ. Here's the way. He's the way. It's not a religious custom. It's not a religious order. It's not 10 things to do to please God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. John 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. He was talking to them about what he had just got through saying to them, what he had just finished talking to them about. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Not the spirit of theology. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth in you, for he dwelleth with you. And he was talking to them about his own spirit, who was sitting there with them, that they couldn't comprehend by looking at him in the flesh. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now listen to this, verse 18. Right after, shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. That is, without a family, without a father. I will come to you. And again, verse 20 of John 14. In is the correct translation. In that day that he's just told them about, I come to you. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father. What a relationship. And you in me, and I in you. What a great salvation. What a great salvation. John 14, 25, 27. These things I have spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he... Now, here's the question answer, hon. The one who answers our questions for sure. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Then Jesus, still speaking in John 15, 26 and 27. You realize from John 14 through John 17 is all the same gathering of his disciples unto him. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witnesses, because you have been with me from the beginning. And John 16, 12, I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, and here's the verse I've been after for just, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now remember what he said. I am the way, the truth, the life. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the completion of it, the perfection of it, the fullness of it. All he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things. Here it's in the better translation, in the things that I'm speaking to you about now, the things that are come. He shall glorify me, verse 14. He shall glorify, he explains what he's saying by what he says. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me and shall show it unto you. And that's what he's talking about, things to come, things that are here, because it's all going to be new for them. The things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 17 through 13. Now these brethren may pick up on all these same verses or whatever. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen him, that's the natural eye, nor the natural ear heard, neither have entered into the natural understanding of man, heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And these are the things that he has prepared for you and I in Christ, the things that Paul talks about in Ephesians 1, when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about right here. It's what Paul is talking about right here. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, now this is what Jesus has been saying, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 12 says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Huh? New birth is one of those. Which things also we speak? Well, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Spirit teacheth, taking, comparing all these things that are spiritual with the one who is spiritual, the very Christ himself. And then in Romans 8:9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our very heart and our very soul It is in that way that we know we are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, you have received the spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Our knowing must be by the Spirit of God. Raven, you want to?
Yeah. When you were reading the question, it seems like to me, and by the wording of it, and it may not even be the case, but there were two questions basically posed. And we've talked about it before, we've said it, and there's a distinction, because the way it was worded is, how do I know that I am born again?
Yeah.
To me, that's different than how do I know Christ as the new birth, or how do I know the nature and the greatness
yeah.
of salvation? So that to me, that seemed, and you know, for anybody that could be confused by that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was born again, I knew it.
Thank you.
I knew that God had done a work in my soul. I had no clue what that meant for yeah. years. I had no idea what the nature of that work was, how absolute it was. But I knew there was that witness of the Spirit that you just read about in my soul that said, this is a reality. So that was never a question. The questions came when I was trying to to understand what had taken place and to try to see it in its proper context and its proper place.
Yeah.
Whether to look at me to see the change or to look to him to see the change. And to me, that's the thrust of this question, like we're talking about. But for someone that's listening to this that may not understand where we're coming from, to me, the fact that we are born again and knowing that I am born again, to me, that doesn't take the revelation of Christ, because it's upon the basis of me being born again and knowing he's there that I'll say, God, show me that
Amen.
Son who is present. Because that's even what the word means, is to unveil something that's already present. So to me, there is that confidence, that spirit-wrought trust that comes into the soul that says, this has happened. I don't know anything about it. I have no context of the length, breadth, depth, height of it, but I know something's real. Now, the Spirit of God works that I may know what God has given, that spiritual thing, the divine work that he has wrought. So to me, that's that distinction.
Yes, you're true.
That has to be made, because I don't think we have to wait for the revelation to know that we are born again, but we do need the revelation of Christ to know what it means to be born again.
Amen.
To know the nature of it and the weight of it, and to grow in that work. But because, you know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. But the Spirit of God has to show us what that means and who makes it so. And it's that, you know, it's the Spirit opening our eyes to see the one who makes that so, that we stop trying to determine the nature of our salvation and the true weight of our new birth by looking at us in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you're certainly clear there and right there that except we be born again, nothing else is going to happen.
Right, and there's nothing to see there.
You know, but it is that same Spirit.
Yeah.
Then the work who will...
Yeah, it's the work of His, that Spirit, to bring us into Christ and to bring Christ into us, and it is the work of that Spirit to unveil our soul to where we are.
And lead us into all truth.
Right.
Which is basically...
Yeah, all the stuff you read, it's all that based upon... You know, what God has done. And, but, you know, Paul, in at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, what you just read, that which God wrought and it's spiritually discerned, he also tells them in the first chapter that you are coming behind in nothing as you await the appearing, the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because he's wanting to assure, and my God, he's writing to the Corinthians, which didn't have really anything right. They had everything screwed up as far as how they were doing and their activities of the church. But he was assuring them of a work God had done in them and then showing them, this is how you know what God has done. This is how the true order of the things come into view, where you're not trying to put an order on it that's not actually the true order. You know, you see the order of God in the person of Christ when he's revealed him.
The thought that hit me, and in just considering the fullness of that, of the question, you know, just putting all of those together, but that you cannot understand what is Spirit except by the Spirit himself. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that being born again is not just joining a religion, or it's not just becoming part of a religion, and because in much of the church world, that's what you're told. That will you come down and will you repeat after me, and now will you sign a pledge to do this and do that now, and even sometimes say, okay, now we want to give you some bread and wine. Mm-hmm. Will you take that? They have system. They have a system. You become part of a system without ever being born of the Spirit, without ever being born again.
Right.
And that was one of the things I was just talking about, that our salvation is a life. Only the Spirit of God can open your eyes to your salvation.
Yeah.
And to be born again is you've got to receive Christ in that way. You know, and I'm glad you said that, because salvation is Christ in you himself by the Spirit of God, whether you know him or not. That's what salvation is, and that's who salvation is.
Right.
And then and I'm kind of like you when I was, because when I was born again, I mean, when I was pretty small, and I'm like you, there was that witness in me by the Spirit. Then I started hearing that it was everything. I mean, you know, I started hearing that, well, that was the evidence that your sins are forgiven and so forth, but I knew my sins are forgiven and all of that as a child, but I kept having that witness. You know, it isn't because I joined anything, or it, I knew I had the witness in me that I knew I had been forgiven. And let me see if I can. So much more had happened, and I knew nothing about it.
Right. Yeah.
Because my elders and those that were there kept telling me, well, yes, that's the, you know, that's the witness of the Spirit that your sins are forgiven. It didn't go into the witness, you know, of truth. It was just that. But then we would have to come back to the altar and pray again so that that would get stirred up in us. And now I know that if I die, I'm going to heaven. And at least that was the teaching that I got. It was a system. Still, in all of that, at that, nobody began to even talk to me about a greater understanding of what had happened, born again. But I knew. I mean, I had no doubt about it. Like you said, I had no doubt about that. The Spirit was there. But I still, I went a long time, and I went, you know, even to Bible college and all of that. And everything that I was told, and it didn't, it started to where I couldn't accept it, because the Spirit of the Lord was saying one thing, seemingly, and it didn't have to do with all of the outward explanations that I was getting on salvation. And what the great deal of salvation was, and because they'd end up teaching mostly about heaven, of being a place that one day we're going to go, and one day this, and one day that, and it just all kind of kept running to an end, but because the witness of the Spirit. Just continues.
Mm-hmm.
And when we finally turn and start seeking to know, and one of the things I wanted to say about to this question is that you will come to know and understand those things when you seek in your heart for the Spirit of God to show you those things. You can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's my point. You can work yourself to death trying to figure something out.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's if the thing in you is Spirit, then the understanding must be the understanding of the Spirit. We're taken out of a natural realm and brought into the realm of the Spirit. And that's where we are.
Yeah, that's
and that's the only thing that's going to work.
Yeah, a lot of people, I know in the places where I was brought up in Christianity, it was almost like when you come to Christ, you park your brain at the door, you know, intellect, and it's just totally shut out. But it's not that. It's that it's not that you can't have intelligence and be a believer, but it's that you stop depending on it to understand anything of what has happened, because it is not known in that way. Can't be. And I think that's the problem with a lot of people. You try to figure it out, like you just said, because we're so used to seeing a system of external ceremony or how to live properly and all that stuff. But when you have come to Christ, you come to something that is absolutely Spirit. And you will never find the proof, the evidence, the understanding of it in any natural way. And so that's the thing. The dependence then is upon God Himself. Once you enter that door, there's a dependence that comes fully upon God. He brought you in it. That was a dependence.
Yeah.
And now there's a full dependence to know and to understand and to comprehend. And none of that's ever going to have Raven or anybody else as its definition or its measurement at all. It is just God and God alone. I mean, that's part of what it says in 2 Corinthians 5, that when you're in Christ in a new creation, all things are of God in this. And that's really what the Spirit teaches us, that which is all of God, and that which leaves no boast for men. And when it's just an intellectual exercise and you hear something like that, it's a depressing thought. But when it's the Spirit teaching you this as He can, then it's a security that you fall into, not some kind of a defect that you think there is in the whole thing, that it's, what is my part? What is my part in this? No, your part is to be found in Him, having nothing of your own, and to have Him show you all that He is. I mean, that's a rest.
Yeah.
That brings the soul in. But
Jim, have you got anything to bring into this conversation?
Not really. I mean, you guys have pretty much answered it. I can give a quick synopsis, I think, maybe. But for the miracle of new birth, it requires God for that to happen. So likewise, it requires God to make known that something happened. And He does. He does. I remember myself, I mean, I know you guys have mentioned a little bit of your own past, but I remember myself, going several times to, not several times, but on occasion, maybe once or twice or three times, different times, to like a church service, and they would give an altar call or, bow your head and raise your hand and pray the sinner's prayer. And I did that several times. And can God use that? Yes, He can use that. But for me, it was just a time of preparing my heart, because nothing actually happened yet. And then when God chose the time of my salvation, there was no bowing my head and raising my hand and repeating what someone else was saying. There was just an encounter with the living God, and no one had to convince me otherwise. God Himself convinced me. Of course, as you both had mentioned, that you don't know everything that just happened at that moment. And my period of ignorance was a long time, not knowing what happened. And of course, religion will tell you, the Christian religion of man will tell you what happened and what now needs to happen, and kind of, blotting out or hushing the Spirit of God trying to speak to you the truth. But that doesn't sway the Lord. And of course, there is that time when the Lord does prepare the heart to be able to respond to the Spirit of truth concerning what actually did happen. And that's when the Father just begins making known His Son. But both require a miracle of God. And even in what's shared, and kind of like what I was saying when I started this, and saying all I can do is like basically give like a general summary, but even with everything that is being shared, it is true. It is very absolutely true. And to me, the question for anyone listening or viewing would be more so, will you be satisfied with what you have heard that is true, and then just go on kind of like your merry way with what you heard someone else say, which we covered in this in a youth lesson, going on with secondhand knowledge? Or will you allow the Spirit of God to actually do what He's trying to do in your heart and take that which is true, present it to the Spirit of God to where the Spirit of God can actually use it in your heart, to where He brings your heart not to another secondhand knowledge, but to a firsthand knowing that comes from God alone. And then your stability, your security is no longer in what you've heard man say, but now it's founded upon what God himself has declared in your heart. And at that point, nothing can shake you. Because evidence, whether it be there or not, does not negate the truth that God has made known in his Son. And so that's about all I can add.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Because everything else, we're looking at the externals to try to prove something. Because mm-hmm. that's our default setting. We're going to look somewhere to prove.
Yeah.
You know, I say it this way, you're looking for external things to prove an internal reality. Yeah. And that's never going to work. And the church, a lot of times, they look for that as far as that's going to be the end game.
Yeah.
Is everything of God works in you to finally get this external thing. You know, and that's why people are still waiting on the renewal of planet Earth and all that stuff. All this stuff is to get us to where we can finally see it out there and it's going to be great. Well, you do the same with us. All this work of God is so that we can see it externally and say, that's it. He's arrived. Well, the fact is, you arrived the moment you were born again. The Spirit of God shows you, where are you?
Yeah.
It's like Colossians. 3, you know, you're risen with Christ. Now set your affection where you are, and when he appears, nothing different's going to happen. He's going to appear as that which has already happened, and you're going to finally see it in clarity, in truth, in the light of who he is. You're going to see what has been. It's apparent now what has always been.
I want to read a passage out of 1 John.
Pardon?
I want to read a passage out of 1 John.
Go right ahead.
This is in chapter 2. It says, the one saying, I have known him, and not keeping his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that one. But whoever keeps his word, truly this one, the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Which is why, you know, with the question, I wanted to bring this out. This is one of those passages that is, it's written in the scripture so that we come to a crisis and we have to come to Christ and say, what gives? What is this about? I mean, if we're really being honest with ourselves, and in the Word of God, this is one of those verses that if we're looking at ourselves according to the flesh and we are really, really believing what Christian religion says these passages say, you will be condemned by these statements. they will leave you crying out to God and wondering, am I really born of God? The next one says, the one saying that to rest in him ought so to walk himself as that one walked. This is 1 John 2. There's 3 verses, 4 through 6. And, you know, when I read these verses as a young believer, I brought my own understanding to them. And I think it's just normal for Christian religion to just... There's all kinds of stuff, that baggage that we bring, that's part of our understanding. And until we really start to see the Lord and be taught by the Holy Spirit, we're going to just assume that spiritual understanding is our understanding of these things, our understanding of spiritual things. And but when the Lord appears and we actually are relating with him and seeing him, then we begin to see that spiritual understanding is the Spirit's understanding of these things, and our mind gets crossed by the mind of Christ. And so this is what the renewing of the mind is about. You know, we need the Lord to appear and show us what his commands are. what his idea of perfection is and perfected is. We need him to show us. There's just, you know, what. There, anyway, and I wrote down some things that the Lord had to, you know, deal with me, and show me how I was bringing a lot of these things from in my understanding, and maybe for you guys too. I just see you got to do it. That's all this says. You got to do the law of Moses. That's what commands are. You got to keep his word. You got to love your neighbor. You got to do it. Yeah. You got to love your brother. You got to be doing that.
Or you're dead.
Yeah. Or you're not born again. You have to be perfect. Or you're not doing it. And this is how we know that we're in him. That was the understanding that I brought to these verses. And you know what? I wasn't doing it. I wasn't loving. I was not keeping the commandments of Moses. I wasn't keeping the love commandments of the New Testament. And I'd walk away condemned from these statements. And I think, I just assume that maybe the person who sent the questions in may also, you know, be haunted by some of these statements. Sure. But I just want to tell you where the Lord brought me. First of all, he takes away my first understanding, and he shows himself as the second. And so there's a lot of things that had to be taken away in this. And, you know, what does it mean to keep his commandments? And this word keep, you know, what the Holy Spirit means is it's a word that is really an observation, is to see God's word. You might see some translations that say we, you know, to guard his commandments. And that's really what the word says here. If you look at the Greek, okay, I'm reading from Thayer's Greek lexicon, keep. The word is tereo. It's comes from the word teros, which means a watch. So there's a looking that's involved in this. You know, we all think to observe the law means just to do it. But no, there's a seeing. These words, this is a very similar word, and it's a seeing that transforms you and changes you. It really has to do with seeing what this law pointed towards, and it always pointed towards Jesus, the life of it. Anyway, so it says it's from the word teros, perhaps akin to, meant to guard properly by keeping the eye upon, and thus, which is properly to prevent escaping from. And it applies a fortress, a full military line of apparatus, by implication to detain, by extension to withhold, and figuratively it means to keep, hold fast, keep, serve, watch. Anyway, that's some of the synonyms that they gave to it. And so when you see, you know, whoever keeps his commandment, it requires us to look to the life who has commanded it, and to see it as it is and understand it. Also to be, you know, these things are written in the Word of God so that, yeah, so you would, if you're the source of keeping the commandments, you will be condemned, and you'll have to come to the cross. You'll have to come to Christ, be brought to your end, and see him as your life, and be raised. And that's what these statements are meant to do. They are meant to bring us to Christ.
Just like what Jesus does in Matthew 5, you know, it tells us, people who think they're keeping the law, and he's like, not so fast. You know, you may not do this, but is the thought there? Is it even a consideration? And that's when you realize, uh-oh. And then at the end of it, he says, here's the whole of it. Be perfect as your Father in heaven's perfect. And it's the same thing he's saying there.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, you talk about a weight. And there's Christians who teach that as another level of keeping the law is, I can't even think it. Now, it's tougher in the new covenant. Well, what he's showing is the whole thing's always been that tough. It's always been impossible. The keeping of the law is Christ in you. And to see him is to see the true keeper of the law, the one who is like the Ark of the Covenant, the one who keeps it where it'll never be broken again forever. And Paul even says it, if you were brought into Christ circumcised, don't seek to be uncircumcised. If you were uncircumcised, don't seek to be circumcised. And what he's saying there is because neither of those things matter, but the keeping of the commandments. And you think, wait a minute, I thought that was part of it. Those rituals, those external things was part of it. No, he has a different understanding of what it means to keep the commandments, and those things that we try to change when we come to Christ, I've got to alter this, I've got to fix this, I've got to change this part. Those are not even in the ball game. Those aren't even part of it. It's about a spiritual transaction that God has wrought, that our eyes have to be open to see the face of Christ. It's true.
You know, Jesus did say to the rich young ruler, you know the commands, keep them.
Yeah.
But he also said this.
But he said, I have.
I have not spoken on my authority, but the Father who sent me himself has given me a commandment, what to say, what to speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. And so, you know, when it says up here, anyone not keeping his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that one, he's not talking about you keeping any commandment by your own life. And he's not talking about you doing it. He's talking about you living and being an expression of eternal life. That's divine life. That's God's life. And that's not you doing it.
Right.
Okay, so this next one, he says, anyone who keeps my word. And, you know, then we need to, you know, have the Lord's understanding what it means to keep his word. That one, the love of God, is perfected. You know, what does perfected mean? According to the heart of the Lord. You know, it's not an external perfection. When Jesus commands us to be perfect in the, you know, in the verse that you're talking about, he's not talking about this. This is it's his perfection that you walk in and not your own. And so that doesn't involve you looking at yourself. Am I doing it? It involves us fixing our eyes on Jesus and seeing him as our perfection and our righteousness. You know, if he abides in him, he ought to walk the same way which Jesus walked. If that's an external thing, then what? Where are we going with that? External perfection? None of us are walking perfect in that external way. You know, Jesus walked on water. We're not going to say that's not the kind of walking that he's talking about. There's a verse in Genesis 17 when Abraham was 99 years old. Yahweh appeared to Abraham and said, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. And that means walk in view of me. See me. And be transformed by that image that you're seeing. I mean, it's the same thing as when Apostle Paul writes that we with unveiled face, reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is a viewing that changes you and transforms you.
Yes, like be perfect as I am perfect. Not be perfect like I am, but be for I am perfect.
And it's according to that that the Holy Spirit says things like, you know, truly the love of God is perfected in this one. By this, we know that we are in him. It requires relationship. It requires the revelation of Christ to know. It requires the Holy Spirit teaching us and showing us these things. These are just some of the things that for me, it was like, you know, when I read in Genesis about the first creation, God brought all these things before Adam and had him name them. Well, in the new creation, we have to go to Jesus, the last Adam, and he needs to define these things for us. We need to let his definition just cross out our definition. What's the way that Jesus walked? How did he walk? Well, he walked in sandals. Well, he walked in Judea. No, that's not the way that this is speaking of. It's just natural mind defaults that I, you know, that I would do, because we hear people so, you know, so often say, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. And so what are we doing? Against, once again, walk to us means doing. Just do it. That's another Nike commercial. Instead of walking the way Jesus walked, was Jesus had a heart that was looking to God. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that Son does likewise. That's John 5:19. So the way Jesus walked was seeing the Father and in view of God. And he was also being transformed by that same viewing and by a miracle. And so we need to experience the same miracle. We can't perform the work of God or walk like Jesus walked unless God provides all that he requires. And that happens through fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's walking as he walked. And that's, you know, just the Holy Spirit needs to take us through these things when we're looking at scriptures that seem to be telling you to look at the external and the way you're doing it. Well, Christians had enough of that in Christianity. And what we need is people just to continue to press in and actually meet with the Lord, hear his heart, and share out from that light and that life.
Okay.
I'll just mention this, that the living God wants to communicate to his people more than his people realize.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I would say to the person that wrote that, and it's almost like it's almost deja vu to a question we did. I think it might have been the one we did before the Sunday Open Forum. The fact that you are desiring to know, the fact that this is such a pressing question in your heart is good news. You know, that there is that desire. We talked about that the last time we sat down. Yeah,
open forum.
It's like Hebrews says, do not cast away your confidence.
Mm-hmm. True.
Hold to this and pursue the knowing of Christ, because God desires to show you the kingdom he has given. And so don't get discouraged in that. Just know that this desire to know the Lord is a good thing. And the Lord that gave you that desire will fulfill it.
Amen. Well, we've probably run out of time, or pretty close to it. Jim, do you know what point we're getting
there?
Yeah,
we're right there.
The thing that has, which is not an answer to one of these questions, but will, the thing that I comprehended concerning my salvation, true salvation, brought me directly to the cross. And the thing that has the thing that has kept me for a lot of years, and has Well, the thing that I thought about when we were looking at some of the, you know, be ye perfect, do this, do that, and what we were saying about it, but the thing that erased all of that off of my blackboard was the realization and the seeing that I am dead. And in and of myself, I have no life. Not even a breath of it. None of it. I said it all the time. I'm as dead as a doornail. Dead. Crucified with Christ. Dead. So it helps me in reading the scriptures when it looks like, and others say, well, Seth says you got to be this. I'm dead. I'll go back to that every time. I am dead. I am dead. Christ and Christ only liveth in me. I am dead.
And anything beyond that's a real downgrade and nullification of salvation. It really is. Anything that would look like a instruction for men to follow, totally out of the context of that.
Well, bless the Lord. I always enjoy these times and these open forums. And we'd like to hear from you. And if you, your comments, your questions, and if you would like for us to continue from time to time, and with regard to an open forum and a discussion with regard to our salvation. So, or anybody else have anything that we need to say or close with, or we're about said it? Okay. The Lord bless. We'll bring this to a closure. Amen. Amen. Yeah.